O key of David, and scepter of the house of Israel, who openest, and no man shutteth, who shuttest, and no man openeth, come and lead the captive from prison, sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Our Lady of Consolation, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, today, children, we've come to the end of our first part, the first semester of our school year. And today, after Mass, of course, your Christmas vacation begins. And we send you off with one last Advent Mass, and the fourth day now of our Christmas Novena. In the Christmas Novena, we're looking at all of the Bible history stories, names, or titles, terms, by which our Lord is referred to before his birth. God used these means as a way of preparing the people for our Lord's coming. And if we think about them a little bit, it tells us about who is coming. And if we know who is coming, why then we can prepare to receive him better. If a guest is coming to stay in your house, it would be good to know something about him. Does he like this kind of food or that? Or does he have some special needs? If you are being hospitable, you want to provide for all of that. And when our Lord comes, we know who he is. We know what our Lord's after, what he wants, so that we can receive him lovingly. Today, we're thinking of our Lord as two things, as the key. Now, you all know what a key is. A key unlocks something that's closed, locked, that you can't get into otherwise, a house or a cabinet. He is the key of David, and he is the scepter. The scepter is sort of like a wand. It's about this tall, usually, and it's carved, usually has gold on it, and it's one of the signs of royal power. A scepter is held by the king, by a ruler, but a key is held by anybody at all. If you want to get into some place that's locked, you have to have the key. So every now and again, I forget my key, and then I'm sort of pacing around outside and scratching at the window, trying to get Father Chicada's attention, who is, of course, oblivious because he's working at his computer. And then I have to go around and knock and get somebody else finally to come and let me in, because if you don't have the key, you don't get in. Keep that in mind. That's the thing about a key. But we say that our Lord is the key of David. What does that mean? Well, yesterday we talked about David's father, remember? David, the great king of Israel. His father was Jesse. And today we're thinking about King David himself. How when our Lord comes, he is the key. He unlocks the mystery or the story or the meaning of King David. Remember David versus Goliath? How with just three stones from a brook and his slingshot, he hit Goliath right in the forehead and slew him. And how that's a symbol of our Lord slaying the devil by his incarnation. And then David was known for his meekness. He was very meek or forgiving or forbearing towards his enemies. He was a very powerful man and a great king and a conqueror, a glorious king. But he also took time to pray. And he wrote the church's prayer book, which alone would be enough to merit him great praise. And the prayer book are the psalms that are said by the church every day in her official prayer. And sometimes we sing little snippets of the psalms, don't we, when we have high mass. The key of David. Well, one of the saints that we have today, children, is sort of a key saint. Interestingly enough, he had keys, you might say, in his life, his whole life long. His name is Saint Dominic of Silos. And he was a poor shepherd boy in Spain, about 1,000 years ago or so. As a shepherd, he discovered prayer and how prayer is the key to find out what God wants you to do, and it's a key that opens up heaven. He, like many a saint as a boy, was outside with his flock, and that's how he started to pray and to do God's will and to become a saint. Prayer, that's the key. Later on, he was a monk, and then he became the head of the monastery. That's called being an abbot. And as the abbot, he was put under pressure by the king, who was the king of Navarre, who was fairly wicked, most kings are, and this fairly wicked king wanted to take over some of the monastery's property. He wanted the key. Maybe it was some buildings, but especially it would have been some lands for one purpose or another. And the abbot, St. Dominic, said, "Well, Your Majesty, I can't give you the key to that. This belongs to God and to the church. You wouldn't have a right just to take it just like that." And he refused. And because he was brave and he stood up to the king, he was exiled. He was made to leave his own country. So he went to see another king. Back then they had lots of kings. And this king was a king of Castile, and his name was King Ferdinand. And he received him very kindly, and he said, "Oh, well, you're a monk, are you? I'll tell you what, I've got an old monastery that nobody wants, and it could use some looking after. Would you like that?" And then he rumbled around in his desk, and he found the key, and he gave the key to Dominic. And he said, "Abbot, here's the key. Go ahead and do what you can to help out that monastery." Well, in due time, he was so holy and prayerful and prudent that he rebuilt the monastery, and it became a very glorious place, and he helped all the monks to be very, very holy and had a very good reputation. And the monastery is still known today. A few years ago, they made a CD of Gregorian chant, monk music, which is, of course, is the church's music that we sing whenever we have a high mass. They made a CD of Gregorian chant that became a bestseller, and everybody talked about this monastery called St. Dominic of Silos in Spain. As a monk, as an abbot, he worked many miracles. He had the key to make sick people healthy. He prayed for them and blessed them, and then they got better. And after his death, as saints do, he worked a lot more miracles. And he freed from prison 300 Christians who had been captured in a war by the Muslims or the Mohammedans. And that's what we're praying for today, that our Lord would lead the captive from prison, those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Well, St. Dominic did that because he was a saint after the example of our Lord. He had the key. He had the power to let him out of prison and make them to go free. Finally, he appeared once to a blessed, and her name is Blessed Joan of Aza, and he predicted that she would have a second son. She only had one son, and that this second son would be a saint. And so when Joan woke up, she resolved that she would name her boy Dominic, and that's how Saint Dominic got his name. And Saint Dominic, of course, received from the Blessed Mother the key that we all have. Do you have it in your pocket today? I hope you do. I think it's such a, you know, for a long time I resisted carrying around keys, and they would get after me. They would say, "You know, you have to carry keys. Most people do." But the keys get sort of heavy in your pocket. And I have my little system now for keys, and I don't usually carry them unless I absolutely have to. Father Jacquard has a big jangle of keys that he carries in his pocket. And I think that would get on my nerves because it would sort of weigh down your pants a little bit. But there's one key that I always carry in my pocket, and I would never go anywhere without this key, and I hope you won't either, children. It's the key to heaven. It's the key. What are we here for if not to get to heaven? This is the key. It unlocks the gate of heaven. It's the rosary. I hope you'll all carry this key with you in your pocket your whole life long. It can be a lightweight one, a very small one. It doesn't have to be heavy. It's a small key, but if you use the key, you unlock the door to heaven. And that's what St. Dominic received from the Blessed Mother. And with that key, all of the people for so many centuries, including right now, today, who were sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, they were freed and delivered. There was something on the internet the other day I have to tell you about, about how a British soldier in Afghanistan had his life saved by the rosary. He was in Afghanistan, and of course it was a very dangerous place for a soldier to be, and he was, all of a sudden, he was wearing a rosary around his neck. Sometimes soldiers do that. And he felt as though somebody kind of pushed him, and then he looked, he felt the rosary wasn't there, and he saw the rosary was on the ground. So he bent over to pick up the rosary, put it back around his neck again, and when he did, he realized he was walking on a landmine. So he jumped off right away, and by jumping off just in the nick of time, he saved his life. The rosary saved his life. And the remarkable thing is that his great-grandfather had his, he was a British soldier as well, in what's called World War II. And he was being marched by the Germans in during the war. He was a captive. And he saw a rosary on the ground. He was a Catholic. So he knelt down to pick it up. And as he knelt down to pick it up, there was a volley of fire right over his head. And those who were standing up straight were hit and killed. But his life was spared by the rosary. Those are just two little examples, special sorts of miracles that tell us how spiritually our life is saved by the rosary. The rosary truly is the key of David. It's the key to heaven, children. I stopped on my way over for the sermon today to look at that statue, which is Our Lady of Consolation, and she comes from Cary, Ohio, near Detroit, in the upper part of the state, and it's a copy of a miraculous statue from Luxembourg. And in that statue, you see Our Lady in her right hand. She holds the scepter of God's kingdom, and at her side is a key. Why? Because Jesus gives his mother his scepter and his key. He gives her all of those powers so that she, in her sweet motherly way, can help many souls who are in prison and in the shadow of death to go free. But remember, you have to use your key. If you carry the key in the pocket and don't put it into the lock, it's not going to do anybody any good. So too, if the Blessed Mother gives you a key, that's the rosary, you have to be careful to use it. Well, now the Holy Mass, and then after Mass, off you go for your Christmas vacation. Don't forget your rosary, children. Say the rosary as a family every day. And if somebody forgets it, suggest it. You say some of your rosary each day and carry it with you. You can't get anywhere in life unless you have your key. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.